Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Thursday, August 27th, 2020. I'm your volunteer reader, Amy B. Let's now turn over to the weather and see what it has for us for here in Sioux City. Today, mostly sunny and hot, a high of 94 and a low of 69. Friday, in Sioux City, a high of 86 and a low of 54. Saturday, a high of 80 and a low of 57. Sunday, a high of 84 and a low of 57. And Monday of next week, a high of 74 with a low of 52 and thunderstorms possible. So we're cooling off, you guys. Let's see the sunrise and sunset. Today, the sun will set at 8:07 p.m. And today, the sun will rise at 6:47, on Friday, the sun will rise at 6:47, and the sun will set at 8:06 p.m. Turning now to the mini editorial, this one comes to us from Jim Gonsoli of South Sioux City, Nebraska. He writes, "Every state surrounding Nebraska has casino gambling. It's time for the state to let voters decide if they want gambling of this type. Let Nebraskans vote on this issue on November 3rd. The state is preventing a vote by the people." Okay, so let's start reading our local stories, and they're COVID-related, sadly. The first one is by Mason Doctor, and it's entitled "Virus Hits Siouxland Colleges." USD has nearly 100 positive cases so far. Just after reopening their campuses for the fall semester, several Siouxland colleges are dealing with outbreaks of the novel coronavirus. 94 students and 4 staff members at the University of South Dakota have reportedly tested positive for the novel coronavirus, according to data the school released on Wednesday. Another 406 people who may have been exposed to the virus are in quarantine. Dort University reported that 9 early arrival students had tested positive for the virus. The students are in isolation away from the campus in Sioux Center, Iowa. Just down the road in Orange City, 8 students and 2 employees at Northwestern College have tested positive since August 17th, a spokesman said on Wednesday. A student at Buena Vista University tested positive for the virus last weekend, a spokeswoman said on Wednesday. The student is isolated at home. Individuals who were in close contact with this student were notified and asked to quarantine and monitor for symptoms. Officials at Briarcliff University last week confirmed a student had tested positive and was quarantined. A Briarcliff spokeswoman on Wednesday said the university had no updates on cases there. The Sioux City Schools started its fall classes this week. USD this week unveiled a new COVID-19 dashboard to track the virus among students and workers. Fall term classes at USD began last week. As with any community where large groups are gathering daily, we knew USD would not be immune to an increase in positive COVID-19 cases on campus, Kevin O'Kelly, Assistant Vice President of Research Compliance and the head of USD's COVID-19 case management team, said in a statement. According to the South Dakota Department of Health data, 46 people in Clay County have active infections. USD noted that many of the positive test results were recorded at students' permanent residences outside Clay County, which accounts for the discrepancy. Other colleges and universities in South Dakota have reported outbreaks, but USD's is the most severe. Officials at Dort have implemented a color-coded, 5-tiered coronavirus risk matrix, somewhat similar to one at Morningside College in Sioux City. The matrix colors from blue, all normal, to red. Most students will return home. Dort is currently at a yellow alert, which is the middle level. Under the yellow alert, Dort's Rec Center and Hulst Library are closed. Class sizes may be restricted, attendance may be restricted, and social distancing practiced at gatherings, co-curricular practices, and events could be canceled and precautions will be heightened at residence halls. Instruction will be offered online to students who are in isolation or quarantine. At Northwestern, students who live within a 250-mile radius of the college will be asked to return home if they test positive, the college wrote on its website in July. Masks are required on campus except in residence halls. Sioux County, home to both Dort and Northwestern, is currently dealing with an outbreak of the virus. In the past 2 weeks, 16.2% of all coronavirus tests in Sioux County came back positive, the fifth highest percentage in the state. The county's two-week positive percentage has risen considerably during the past week. In absolute terms, 172 people have tested positive for the virus in Sioux County during the past 2 weeks, and around 244 are currently thought to have active infections, according to Iowa Department of Public Health data. Buena Vista University will begin offering COVID-19 testing to students through a Test Iowa testing site sometime next week. Buena Vista County was once one of the hardest hit counties of the state, but lately its COVID-19 numbers have been brought under control. Roughly 50 people in the county are thought to have active infections, and its positive percentage is low at only 4.3%. A Morningside College spokeswoman said on Wednesday that while the college is not presently aware of any known infections among students or staff, they are considering introducing an online COVID-19 dashboard with data on virus cases. Like Dort, Morningside is at a yellow coronavirus risk level, though its coronavirus risk matrix is organized a little differently than Dort's. As the semester has begun, Morningside has been working closely with Siouxland District Health to share numbers and information and refined our processes for students who are quarantining or being tested. It was important for us to have a strong understanding of how Morningside would receive testing information before creating such a dashboard, a statement from the college said. Turning now back to the front page, we have another article about COVID. Here it says, this one is by Brett Hayworth of the Journal. Schools react in Plymouth County. COVID-19 cases continuing to increase. Remsen, Iowa. Coronavirus cases in Plymouth County, the state's top hotspot, continue to climb Wednesday as two schools in Remsen prepare to begin in-person instruction Thursday. Multiple students in another district, meanwhile, were in quarantine after coming in contact with a classmate who tested positive for COVID-19. Plymouth County health officials have traced the outbreak to various social events in Remsen and a recent golf tournament in Akron. Remsen St. Mary's, a Catholic school, and MMCRU, which operates an elementary school in Remsen, pushed back the start of their 2021 academic years from Monday to Thursday due to the outbreak. The key statistic measure local and state officials are watching is the 14-day average of positive tests in each of Iowa's 99 counties. The positivity rate in Plymouth, which has led the state since last week, rose to 22% Wednesday, up from 20.4% on Tuesday and 20.8% on Monday. The article continues, in a letter Wednesday to district residents, MMCRU Superintendent Dan Barkell explained the decision to delay the start of the 2021 academic year by 3 days due to the county's stubbornly high positivity rates. We apologize for the inconvenience of not having school earlier this week and the mixed messages we inadvertently sent with our communications. COVID-19 continues to be a difficult virus to contain, Barkell said. Remsen St. Mary's principal, Kim Phillips, was not immediately available for comment on Wednesday. Akron Westfield started its new school year as scheduled on Tuesday. AW Superintendent Randy Collins was not immediately available for comment on Wednesday. At Kingsley Pearson, a district with territory in both Plymouth and Woodbury counties, a middle school student tested positive for COVID-19 last weekend. Kingsley Pearson opened its new year on August 13th, one of the state's earliest start dates. KP Superintendent Scott Bailey said Wednesday he has informed district patrons of the positive test. Because the student had been in close contact with others, several other students have been quarantined at home and are taking classes online instead of in school for 2 weeks. When we began the school year, we understood that this may happen at some point, Bailey said. Regardless of the safety precautions we put into place during the school day, we cannot control who people are around after school or events and activities they may go to in the evenings or on the weekends. We are committed to providing the best possible educational environment for our students, whether that is through in-person learning or a hybrid virtual environment. We will continue to educate our students while revisiting and modifying our safety protocols. Bailey declined to disclose the number of students quarantining because of the positive test, but did say the current middle school absentee rate is 4%. The district has a K-12 enrollment of about 440. In late July, the Iowa Department of Education issued a directive that allowed school districts to ask permission to conduct all classes online for 14 days if the two-week average of positive new tests is 15% or higher. On Wednesday morning, a few residents out for a walk in Remsen shared their impressions of the city as a hotspot for the virus. Liz Fish, whose youngest child attends St. Mary's High School, said she is being wary and follows mask wearing and distancing tips in her personal life and also in operating a Fish funeral home. She says she supports measures such as requiring masks and social distancing at St. Mary's, if that means courses can be held in the building rather than online. Fish said she wasn't aware of any Remsen social events that might have been fodder for community spread. Local resident Tom Bakken noted a long-standing annual town demolition derby had been called off due to the virus. Tara Geddes, manager for Floyd Valley Community Health, affiliated with Plymouth County Public Health, said in a statement to the Journal, "There has been an increase in cases in the Remsen area, but they are not tied to any specific event or events, such as an outbreak, and are considered community spread. Oftentimes, increases may be tied to social events, family gatherings, or within households." Bakken said he takes recommended prudent steps, such as wearing masks in restaurants and other public places. Therefore, he feels relatively safe in the town of 1,621 people. Remsen isn't the only place. Take a look at Sturgis, the motorcycle rally in South Dakota. Did anybody do social distancing there? Bakken said. Fish said people are tired of the normality of life being impacted by the virus. After a spring in which Iowa restaurants, businesses, and pools closed for some weeks, and the final 10 weeks of the spring semester were called off, the stay-at-home mom has been home with her kids for 6 months. Everybody is ready to live. People are more tired of the restrictions than they are afraid of the disease, Fish said. The Lamar's Public School District, the largest school in Plymouth County, started its new school year as scheduled on Tuesday. Superintendent Steve Webner said there are no current plans to ask the state to move instruction out of buildings or to an all-virtual format, since the high number of cases are occurring elsewhere in the county. At 16, Plymouth County has the second highest number of COVID-19 deaths in northwest Iowa, behind only the 54 in much more populous Woodbury County. As of Wednesday, six other Iowa counties had rates above 15%, including Sioux, which borders Plymouth County to the north. Sioux County's rate hit 16.2% Wednesday, up from 15.2% the day before. Now I'm going to look at the graphic that we have in the paper that tells us how many cases are active in each county. First, we start with our states in our area. South Dakota has a number of 11,571 cases of coronavirus. Nebraska has had 32,727. Iowa has had 58,235. In our counties, the South Dakota counties in our area, Yankton County has had 185 cases with 3 deaths. Clay County has had 176 cases with 1 death. Union County has had 237 cases with 4 deaths. In Nebraska, Cedar County had 44 cases, Dixon County 67 cases, Wayne County 45 cases, Thurston County 231 cases, and Dakota County, Nebraska has had 1,948 cases with 42 deaths. In our Iowa counties in our area, Lyon County, Iowa has had 137 cases with 2 deaths. Osceola, 92 cases. Dickinson, 406 cases with 5 deaths. Sioux County has had 820 cases with 3 deaths. O'Brien County, 172 cases with 7 deaths. Clay County, Iowa has had 234 cases with 2 deaths. Plymouth County, Iowa, 645 cases with 16 deaths. Cherokee County, 130 cases with 1 death. Buena Vista, 1,817 cases with 12 deaths. Woodbury County has had 4,001 cases with 54 deaths. Ida County, 38 cases. Sac County, Iowa, 103 cases. Monona County, 105 cases with 1 death. Crawford County, Iowa has had 803 cases with 3 deaths. I'm going to turn my page now to the next page for some other local news. The first one is by Nick Heitrich, entitled Jury Selected in Serber Murder Trial. After nearly 2 days of questions from attorneys, 12 jurors have been chosen to hear Andres Serber's murder case. 3 alternates also were chosen in case any jurors cannot complete the trial. Opening arguments and witness testimony are scheduled to begin at 9 a.m. Thursday at the Dakota County Courthouse. Jury selection began Tuesday at the South Sioux City Marriott Riverfront Hotel Ballroom, a roomier setting than the Call Courthouse that allowed the dozens of county residents who were summoned to sit at least 6 feet apart in compliance with social distancing guidelines in place because of the coronavirus pandemic. Serber, 29, of Wakefield, Nebraska, has pled not guilty in Dakota County District Court to first-degree murder, use of a firearm to commit a felony, and possession of a firearm by a prohibited person. He is accused of shooting Craig Kubik with a 9mm firearm on November 1st, 2016, and then dismembering the body. Autopsy results showed that Kubik, 42, died of a single gunshot wound to the back of the head. Prosecutors believe Serber shot Kubik at Kubik's rural Emerson, Nebraska home. Kubik's right arm and right leg were found inside the trunk of a car at an abandoned farm 24 miles away. The day after he died, the rest of Kubik's remains were found 3 days later in a culvert near the farmhouse. Turning now to briefs. Cause of elevator explosion remains under investigation. The cause of an Ag Partners grain elevator explosion in Royal remains under investigation, a company spokesman said. The elevator experienced a grain dust incident at approximately 3:30 p.m. Tuesday, Brent Lowe, Vice President of Agronomy and Corporate Marketing, said in a news release. There were no injuries. Multiple fire departments responded to the fire. Royal, population around 400, is a Clay County, Iowa town located southwest of Spencer. Ag Partners, a cooperative based in Albert City, Iowa, operates several facilities throughout Northwest Iowa, offering grain, agronomy, feed, and petroleum services and products. The next brief is headlined, Man Sentenced to Prison on Child Pornography Charge. A Hinton, Iowa man has been sentenced to more than 2 years in federal prison for possessing child pornography. Shane Yates, 49, pled guilty Tuesday in U.S. District Court in Sioux City to one count of possessing child pornography and was sentenced to 33 months in prison. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, Yates possessed more than 150 images of child pornography on a Kindle Fire tablet from August 2017 through February 2019. The images, including depictions of minors engaged in sexually explicit conduct, and at least one of the children was under age 12. The next brief is headlined, Man Pleads Guilty to Using Fake $100 Bills. Storm Lake, Iowa. A Storm Lake man has pled guilty to passing counterfeit $100 bills at local businesses. Irvin DeWalt Jr., age 26, entered his plea Wednesday in Buena Vista County District Court to one count of forgery. According to court documents, DeWalt has entered a plea agreement and will receive a deferred judgment, 2 years probation, and a $750 civil penalty. Three counts of forgery would be dismissed. DeWalt was arrested July 31, 2019, after passing fake bills at the Brew Convenience Store, 1100 East 5th Street, and the Yes Way Store, 1101 North Lake Avenue, earlier in the day. When DeWalt was arrested, police found another fake bill in his pocket, court documents said. Police also arrested Dennis Williams and charged him with using one of the fake bills at the Brew. Williams, 28, of Storm Lake, has pled not guilty to two counts of forgery. The next brief is titled, Man Sentenced to Prison for Habitual Domestic Abuse. A Macon, Nebraska habitual domestic abuser was sentenced Wednesday to 5 years in prison. Clayton Bertucci, 32, was sentenced to 60 months, the maximum statutory sentence, for one count of domestic assault by a habitual offender. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, Bertucci and the victim had a domestic dispute on December 22, 2018. After the woman left the residence, Bertucci pursued her, then hit her in the back of the head, knocking her to the ground. He continued to hit and kick the victim, who was pregnant at the time, while she was on the ground. Bertucci had prior domestic abuse convictions involving the same victim in 2017 and 2018. Dixon, Nebraska. Maintenance work to begin on U.S. Highway 20 in Dixon County. Traffic will be slowed on U.S. Highway 20 in Dixon County while workers complete an armor coating project. The Nebraska Department of Transportation said that work was to begin Wednesday from the U.S. 20 Nebraska Highway 116 junction north of Dixon to the U.S. 20 Nebraska Highway 9 junction south of Martinsburg. Work is expected to last 6 days. Traffic will be maintained through the work zone with a pilot car and flaggers. Tyson Center to host community trunk sale. Sioux City. A community trunk sale will be taking place from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. September 26th in the parking lot at the Tyson Event Center in Sioux City, 401 Gordon Drive. Admission is free for shoppers to attend this outdoor rummage sale. Those wishing to participate as a vendor may sell items from the trunk of their vehicles or in the space remaining in the designated parking stall using a blanket, tarp, or table. Anyone who has yard or garage sale items to sell is invited and encouraged to register to participate at TysonCenter.com. Setup in the Tyson Events Center parking lot will be between 6 to 8:30 a.m. on September 26th Well, oops, that was yesterday. So why is that in today's paper, you guys? I'm sorry. The opinion that we have in today's paper, there's an opinion by the journal staff, the journal editorial board, which is Bruce Meller is the editor of the Sioux City Journal, and Michael Gores is the editorial page editor. This is the title of the journal's opinion. America needs to do better on social distancing. Throughout the coronavirus pandemic, three guidelines have been driven home by health experts over and over again. Wash your hands, wear a mask, social distance. Simple but invaluable steps we all should embrace. Incredible as it is this far into the global COVID-19 crisis, however, it's clear that Americans as a whole have much more work to do when it comes to social distancing. Troubling stories and images continue to emerge this summer of largely maskless throngs crowding together for recreation and fun, too often followed by stories of increased virus cases in those same places. Here in Iowa this month, a lack of attention to the need for social distancing is intersecting with the start of classes in K-12 public schools and at the state's three public universities. Leaders at Iowa State University, the University of Iowa, and the University of Northern Iowa have threatened students who don't practice proper social distancing with punishment, including suspension. To those of us doing our part to behave responsibly, not only for ourselves, but in the name of the greater good, unsafe irresponsibility is maddening. Here's a quick review of where we stand on the coronavirus. From 10 a.m. Tuesday to 10 a.m. Wednesday, Iowa recorded 817 new confirmed cases of the virus, pushing the state's total to almost 58,000. Our state is among 28 states experiencing an escalation of community spread this week, according to the Center for Systems Science and Engineering at Johns Hopkins University. As we write this, the U.S. is closing in on 6 million COVID-19 cases and 180,000 coronavirus deaths, and no vaccine exists. Too many Americans are ignoring these facts as if the virus is something from the past. In response, health authorities, federal, state, and local government leaders, and private sector leaders must continue to preach and, if necessary, seek ways to enforce rules and recommendations for social distancing. To this end, we applaud the stern warnings issued by Iowa's public university leaders. As we have said before, we support reopening of businesses and public places with proper safeguards in place, but that won't work if Americans don't remain vigilant to realities by continuing to follow precautions. Bottom line, each of us as individuals must step up and do his or her best to help all of us safely navigate what's left of this pandemic. To those of us doing our best to behave responsibly, not only for ourselves, but in the name of the greater good, unsafe irresponsibility is maddening. And that's the end. There aren't any letters to the editor today, so that was the only opinion. Well, we've reached our halfway point, you guys. You are listening to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Thursday, August 27th, 2020, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. From Omaha, formerly of Sioux City, Leona Sylvia Kwikla, spelled C-W-I-K-L-A. Leona Sylvia Lee Kopechne Kwikla, age 99, of Omaha, formerly of Sioux City, passed away Monday, August 24, 2020. Services will be at a later date in Sioux City. From Sioux City, Ronald L. Wendt, Sr. Ronald L. Wendt, Sr., 79, of Sioux City, passed away Sunday, August 23, 2020. Visitation will be Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. with a prayer service at 7 p.m. at Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel. Private burial will be at a later date. Online condolences may be directed to MeyerBrosChapels.com. Ronald was born the son of Leroy and Edith Phipps Went on February 21, 1941 in Sioux City. He graduated from Central High School and then honorably served his country in the United States Navy. Ron married Jeanette Dimmick on May 29, 1976 in Sioux City. He worked at Metz Baking for 30 years until his retirement in 1995. Ron was the life of the party and never knew a stranger. He loved golfing and having lunch with his buddies at the townhouse. He enjoyed listening to music and watching old movies. His greatest joys came from spending time with this family and his grandchildren. From Calhoun, Colorado, formerly of Sioux City, Mary Jane Weaver. Mary Jane Weaver, 85, formerly of Sioux City, passed away peacefully at home under Pikes Peak Hospice Care in Calhoun, Colorado on Sunday, August 23, 2020, surrounded by family and loved ones. Mary was the daughter of Ori Milton Rowe and Geneva Alice Kulo Rowe of Sioux City. She was a graduate of East High School, class of mid-year 1953. Mary was a lifelong artist and craftsman. She married Carol Dean Weaver, and they traveled extensively during his service with the United States Air Force and later the U.S. Army. They later took up crafting in retirement and traveled throughout the country attending craft shows and frequenting their favorite restaurants and food spots. She would navigate the country by her favorite restaurants. Mary was a great friend and storyteller, fun to be around, and never met a stranger throughout her travels. She will be greatly missed by family and friends alike. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Pikes Peak Hospice, 2550 Tenderfoot Hill Street, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80906. That's Pikes Peak Hospice in Colorado Springs. From Newcastle, Nebraska, Leland John Sautel, age 83, died Friday, August 21, 2020. Services, August 29, 4 p.m., Gospel Chapel, Newcastle, with 50% capacity and social distancing observed. Live stream, https, facebook.com, Gospel Chapel, Newcastle. Burial, private, in Newcastle Cemetery. Arrangements are with Moore Funeral Home in Ponca. From Sioux City, Darlene Smith, age 99, died Tuesday, August 25, 2020. Graveside service, August 31st, 2 p.m., Cheriton Cemetery, Cheriton, Iowa. From Storm Lake, Iowa, Sharon K. Peters, age 76, died Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. Services, August 29th, 10 a.m., St. John Lutheran Church, Storm Lake. Burial, Storm Lake Cemetery. Visitation, August 28th, 5 to 8 p.m., Fretzky and Jensen Funeral Home in Storm Lake. From Jackson, Nebraska, Herman E. Lieber, age 88, died Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. Services, August 28th at 10:30 a.m., Moore Funeral Home, South Sioux City. Burial, after the service, Salem Cemetery, Ponca, Nebraska. Visitation, August 27th, 4 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. From Calumet, Iowa, formerly of Cherokee, Iowa, Larry W. Maxwell, age 73, died Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. Services, August 28th, 10:30 a.m., Boothby Funeral Home, Cherokee, with masks required. Burial, Afton Township Cemetery, rural Cherokee. Visitation, August 27th, 3 to 7 p.m., Boothby Funeral Home. Live stream at Boothby Funeral Home website. From Terrell, Iowa, formerly Sanborn, Iowa, Kenneth Snyder, age 97, died Wednesday, August 26, 2020. Private graveside service, August 29th, Roseland Cemetery near Sanborn, with military honors. From Lamars, Iowa, Diane Frenson, age 83, died Monday, August 24th, 2020. Services, August 29th, 10:30 a.m., All Saints Catholic Parish, St. Joseph Church, Lamars, with social distancing and masks required. Burial, private, Calvary Cemetery, Lamars. Visitation, August 28th, 3 to 7 p.m., Rex Winkle Funeral Home, Lamars, resuming August 29th from 9:30 a.m. until service time. That is the end of the obituaries for today. We're going to turn now to sports. This one comes to us from Zach James of the Journal, headlining Stars Thinking Big for Season. Sioux City, North High School cross-country coach Abdir Marrero has been telling the Stars to run fearlessly. The Stars boys team is ranked second in the preschool Iowa Association of Track Coaches cross-country poll in Class 4A. Dubuque Hempstead is ranked number one. Cedar Falls is number three. While the Stars are aware that they're second in the poll and have high expectations, Marrero just wants his runners, including third-ranked runner Jason Bowers, just to be free on the course. We want them to think big and understand what they're capable of, Marrero said. I can't coach cautiously. I don't want them to get scared. With that, we're still looking and making sure the kids are listening to their bodies. We're telling them when we need them to back off. State champion or bust isn't the point, Marrero said. Just to be the fastest we can be and have a lot of excitement at the end of the day. We want them to enjoy it. Bowers finished ninth last season at the Class 4A state meet, and he wasn't completely healthy. He had suffered ITBS, about a week before the state meet, which gave him knee pain. Bowers fought through that and ran one of the best races of his running tenure. Bowers finished with a time of 15 minutes, 54 seconds during the 5,000-meter race at Lakeside Municipal Golf Course. The Stars also broke a school record by getting fifth in the team standings with points. He didn't back off in the winter or spring. He kept on running because, according to Marrero, the Stars senior knows the expectations ahead of him. He knows about his number three ranking. Jason understands that he has a shot, but I don't get the "I have to be state champion or it means nothing" vibe from him, Marrero said. Bowers has runners behind him. The biggest lesson he has learned is that he has a full team behind him, and that matters to him so much more. Bowers has three ranked teammates behind him. Junior Will Lohr is seated 10th, sophomore Bishana Kutema 17th, and senior Colin Greenwell is ranked 25th. Marrero has been pleased with the development all his runners have made, but none other than Lohr. Will turn some heads this year, Marrero said. Watching that growth, aside from Jason, has been the biggest confidence boost. North was the only team at state last year in any of the four classes to have all seven of its runners finish under the 17-minute mark. The Stars will travel to two meets where they'll see Hempstead. They'll see Hempstead at the Heartland meet in Pella on September 19th, and then the two teams will meet again on October 3rd at the Steve Johnson Classic on the Wartburg College campus in Waverly, Iowa. Marrero says there won't be any added pressure competing at those types of meets, but it'll give the guys a snapshot of where they're at and what North needs to work on in the final couple of weeks of the regular season. These guys are no longer afraid of the big names, Marrero said. They're finally looking at themselves as one of those teams. The North girls had two runners who finished in the top 80 last season at state. Lillian Garay, now a senior, nearly broke 20 minutes last fall in Fort Dodge, while Elizabeth Jordan will hope to improve on a 76th place finish from last year's state meet, Both were in the top 15 at the state qualifying meet last year. Another front page sports article, Siouxland Journal Male Athlete of the Year. His name is Hunter Deckers. Desire for Greatness by Zach James of the Journal. Hunter Deckers' name will be one that will be brought up for years to come in Hawarden, Iowa. Deckers, a West Sioux High School athlete turned Iowa State quarterback, took every moment, no matter the sport, to get better and find a way to win, and his time at West Sioux ended with breaking a few records. Deckers is the 2020 Journal Siouxland Athlete of the Year for his record-breaking year in football, while being a major factor with the Falcons basketball team. As West Sioux's quarterback, Deckers set the single-season passing yards mark, along with the all-time passing yards and passing touchdowns mark in Iowa prep football history. First, Deckers set the passing touchdowns record with 126. That record shows great team effort, West Sioux football coach Ryan Schweisau said. Your team has to score a good amount of points in order to be able to do that. Anyone can throw for a lot of yards, but when your team scores a lot of touchdowns, that's impressive, as a team stat and as an individual. Deckers then passed Cherokee's Tyler Jones, who threw for 9,146 yards, and the current Iowa State freshman finished his West Sioux career with 10,628 passing yards. Deckers' season ended in the state semifinals against West Lyon, but his stats from 2019 were impressive. In his final high school season, Deckers passed for 3,640 yards and 36 touchdowns. He only threw 4 interceptions and rushed for 439 yards and 9 touchdowns. I'm going to move on now to our weekender section because there's lots of local news about arts and entertainment and that kind of thing, events. This first one is by Diane Dykes, and the headline is Theaters Find New Ways of Staging Drama, Raising Money. Live theater returns this weekend when the new Stage Players offers Godspell Jr. at the Coffee Necton 419 Golf Road in South Sioux City. Shows, staged outdoors, will be held at 6:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 2 p.m. on Sunday. The reason we're doing it outdoors is obviously COVID-related, said Tim Hess, one of the officials with the new Stage Players. Because it's being performed outside, Hess said theatergoers can spread out and enjoy the show safely. Godspell Jr. is a condensed version of the Broadway musical about the life of Jesus. New Stage Players wanted to do this show because they weren't able to complete their season earlier this year. Hess said they hope to bring back the canceled shows next year. Hess said it has been hard to not perform for the last 6 months. When organizers figured out a way to safely stage a show, they started making plans. Godspell Jr., Hess said, is enabling our volunteers to get back into performing. Hess said the show will also give the theater some much-needed revenue. Live theater has taken it on the chin in 2020. From school productions, community-level theater, all the way to Broadway. They've all had to shut down. We don't know what happens next. Hess said he hopes more shows will follow in the upcoming months. Sioux Center plans shows, too. In Sioux Center, Iowa, Sioux Art Center Arts will return... Sioux Center Arts will return to performing in the fall. Arts director Kate Henriksen said her company will stage 39 Steps, an adaptation of the Alfred Hitchcock thriller. The show, which includes traces of comedy, was originally scheduled for the same weekend, but was pushed back to September 10th through the 12th. Henriksen selected the play because Sioux Center Arts couldn't do its big summer production. I really wanted to be able to do something, she said. 39 Steps seemed ideal because it didn't need a full cast and crew, limiting the actor's exposure. Like Hess, Henriksen hopes her show will give patrons a chance to bring theater back into their lives. I think the arts, and theater in particular, are a way to really bring joy to a community, she said. There's something about live theater coming together to experience emotion and story, to laugh, cry, and clap together, that is a really unique experience. Henriksen hopes that her show will prove encouraging to other arts organizations. This pandemic has caused a lot of challenges for the arts community, she said. Many artists have been out of work, without the ability to have community performances. Arts organizations have been struggling to try to find ways to keep going during this time. 39 Steps will be performed at 7 p.m. September 10th at the Tepaska Theater, 550 9th Street Northeast in Sioux Center. The Lamb reopens fall, too. Russ Woolley, director and owner of Lamb Theater, said his company will begin its 41st season on September 18th with the Irish comedy Outside Mullingar. Tickets will be available September 1st. SCCT hopes for a Christmas show. The Sioux City Community Theater will remain closed at this time. Director Rick Myers said its board is looking into the possibility of a Christmas show. Otherwise, the facility might not open until 2021. I don't know what's going to happen, Myers said. I hope things go well. In the meantime, Myers said, actors will continue to do online radio shows and have vendors come out for fundraising. Our next Weekender article is by Diane Dykes. And the headline is, Bowling Leagues Start Soon at Rush Lanes. Need something to do with the family? Why not bowling? Need more of a challenge? Rush Lanes will be starting bowling leagues soon. Kellen Pearson, manager at Rush Lanes, said bowling is a great way for people to stay active. Bowling allows people to exercise both physically and mentally, and she added, it's a surprisingly thought-provoking game. Bowling also allows people to come out and interact with each other. Humans are socializers, and it gives people a chance to socialize with people that they wouldn't be able to, Pearson said. Pearson said the bowling center at Rushworks is accepting walk-ins, but are limiting lanes. Reservations aren't needed, to groups of five. She said the policy is designed to limit every two lanes to 10 people or less, in order to practice social distancing. Pearson said the lane's manager will ask patrons if they're comfortable around another group. It's pretty much all open bowling until leagues get started, she said. Once leagues begin, open bowling hours will be limited. Rush Lanes leagues are geared for adults, youth, and seniors. Teams include groups from 4 to 5 people, depending on the day. The adult leagues include sessions for men, women, and mixed teams. Leagues will last 32 weeks. There are still spots available. If anybody wants a women's team on Tuesday night, for example, come on in, we'll get you set up, Pearson said. Teams that include both men and women will play Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. Men's night is Thursdays. There's also a youth league at 7 p.m. Sundays for anyone under 17, or anyone who turned 18 after August 1st. Junior leagues are for those over 50. Senior leagues are for those over 50. For more information, call Rush Lanes at 712-252-4545, extension 2. Gallery 103, Slate's first post-quarantine show. Gallery 103 isn't just planning a summer art show, it's expanding outside its space. Susie Rodriguez, one of the 22 artists at Gallery 103, said the weekend show will be in its space at the Ho-Chunk Center and the building's atrium at 600 4th Street. The Art is Alive show opens at 5 p.m. Friday and continues through 1 p.m. on Saturday. Our shows have been really popular, said Rodriguez. We get a very good crowd for our spring and fall shows. This time it kind of ended up being a summer show. We're hoping a lot of people will come out to see it. Rodriguez said Gallery 103 is one of the few area art spaces staging a show. Everybody needs an art fixed, artist Paula Crandall said. In the age of COVID-19, Rodriguez said, while the show will include precautions to keep visitors safe, it will still have a variety of works. While others have held virtual openings, online galleries, and YouTube tours, artist Kaylee Kahn said those substitutes can't make up for the real thing. "It's a big difference from seeing it on a screen and seeing it in reality," Rodriguez said. Artist Gail Ray said it's refreshing to have this outlet and to be able to share all the art they worked on at home. "If you have a love for art, there's a real drive and a real need to be around our events," Brian Damon said. "It really feeds that soul within us." Rodriguez said it's the first art show after quarantine, other than the Sioux City Art Center's reopening. Ray hopes visitors will be able to get excited about art again. "We need to get that ball rolling," Ray said. "We need to get people excited about art again." Austin Rodriguez, another artist, said people keep coming back to their shows and events because people love the works and want to see what the artists do next. In addition to the show will boast music throughout the gallery spaces. Working up a sweat, Southern Hills Mall starts offering outdoor fitness classes. The Southern Hills Mall is Siouxland's largest indoor shopping center, but over the course of 7 weeks, the mall is offering fitness classes outdoors. Since the mall doesn't have its own staff to lead classes, Southern Hills officials approached the Norm Waite Senior YMCA about running the Summer Sweat Series, said Jacqueline Perez, the YMCA's Senior Program Director. "So, this is kind of their initiative to kick off what we hope to be a lot more offerings," Perez said. "This is just the initial kickoff to see what the interest is in the community." The Summer Sweat Series began on August 19th, and it runs through October 1st. The 7-week series offers classes every Wednesday morning and Thursday evening on the south side of the mall, near the entrance to the Iron Hill Ball and Grill, Bar and Grill. The program features yoga every Wednesday and class group fight, a form of mixed natural arts, on Thursdays. Classes are available for all ages and all levels. In case of inclement weather, classes will move indoors to an area of the mall near Barnes & Noble. The classes are free, but participants are required to reserve a spot at southernhillsmall.com. Perez said the timing for the outdoor classes is perfect because COVID-19 has limited teaching opportunities for YMCA instructors. The Warm Norm Waite Senior YMCA has handpicked 2 nationally certified instructors for the Summer Sweat Series. Perez said the instructors were chosen for their abilities to work well with people and make classes fun. "They're also flexible enough to modify classes if needed," she said. Alfredo Fuentes, the group fighting instructor, said the Summer Sweat Series is similar to classes he teaches at the YMCA. But for the Mall Series, he will explain everything more and make it more beginner-friendly. "We have a great way to use fighting moves to exercise," Fuentes said. Fuentes said group fighting is a cardio-intense workout that requires participants to move their bodies but not make contact with others. He said class participants should expect to be sweating a lot through the moves. "If the Summer Sweat Series is well received by the community," Perez said, "more classes could be added throughout the winter. We've already been talking about ideas about what we can do in the future, whether it's classes or programs or health challenges we can do at the mall," she said. "This is a great opportunity to go to a class, get active, kickstart your exercise routine, and not have to worry about the financials of it," she said. I think our final article we're going to read is about online ordering of 2 coffee shops. Since opening in April of 2017, Heartland Coffee and Nosh saw a steady increase in sales, General Manager Stacy Orndorff said. With COVID-19 keeping many consumers home this year, the Sioux City Coffee Shop has benefited from online orders. "Last year, we started online ordering," Orndorff said. "It's been a game changer for us to stay afloat." Orndorff is thankful online ordering began last year because it allowed the business to work out some kinks and make sure the system was good to go by the time the coronavirus outbreak hit this spring. Orndorff said she and her staff continue to do their best to interact with customers and serve their needs. "For our brand, we are focused on creating an experience for our customers," Orndorff said. "We're always listening to our customers." Orndorff said the menu offers crowd favorites and keeps adding more options like vegetarian dishes. Products can be ordered through their website at www.coffeeandnosh.com/shop. "People appreciate our thoughtfulness that we put into our menus," Orndorff said. Crowd favorites include the steak and egg bowl, cinnamon roll waffle bites, and the avocado bowl. For drinks, the most popular coffee is iced 14K. Orndorff said that it is made with their homemade caramel from her grandmother's caramel recipe and hazelnut. She said it's like liquid gold. Coffee and Nosh is also known for its lavender lemonade, which looks almost too pretty to drink. "Our brand is a little edgy," Orndorff said. "We want to introduce people to new things. The quality of their food and creating a community that people can be a part of is what sets Coffee and Nosh apart and draws customers." Coffee and Nosh is located at the Farmers Market from 7:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and the Morningside Library parking lot from 7:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Thursdays. Well, everybody, that does it for today's reading of the Sioux City Journal for Thursday, August 27th, 2020. I'm your volunteer reader, Amy B. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thanks for listening.